A caller believes the birth control pill should not be given to anyone long-term. They're of the view that it's extremely damaging to a woman's health, never mind a teenaged girl. There is conflicting medical evidence to that, and indeed there are some that say it's very beneficial to, or can be beneficial to, women's health in terms of not cancer prevention, but cancer deterrent and what have you. But that's one listener's point of view, and they're up to them whether they take it or not, of course. Are drivers who are in court on a driving charge still allowed the luxury not to hand up their driver's licence in that court? Is this still the case? And if so, why? Yes, it is, as far as I'm aware. Why? I don't know. Another caller says, I noticed the Garda on your show yesterday referred to all the drug driving detections and insurance detections as having been detected by the Donegal Traffic Unit. There are specialist units that covers the whole county. Why were no offences detected by the regular stationed Gardaí? Well, just in relation to that, there were three or four that were pulled out to emphasise what's happening on our roads. All detections, the detections in their totality, were not actually revealed. But they go on to say that the traffic unit can only be in one place at a time. It seems to me that it's a PR unit who come on radio to give the impression that there are widespread checkpoints being carried out and they're doing a great job. Three or four detections per week is nothing. That should be the statistic for a single Friday night. But as I say, that's not the totality of the detections. That was just a handful that were pulled out given the severity of the intoxication or inebriation through drugs. But I take your point, and many people feel that there aren't enough checkpoints. And I think every Garda now, they have to do a half hour of traffic duty per shift, or is it per week? I'm not quite sure. I think it's per shift. But anyway, in any case, I take your point. I think most people would agree we need more checkpoints. But second to that, what was revealed yesterday was a sample of detections to highlight the problems that are on the roads. And as I say, not a run through of the totality. A caller says football supporters in the Finn Valley were able to travel all the way by rail to Ulster finals in Clonus. Wow. I don't know why it fascinates me. That sounds fantastic. Right. Gary's with me now. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, and we're talking about green rays and the potential and all that type of stuff. Are a cyclist. You've been down in Westport, and I'm told that there's been amazing investment and development in greenways and cycleways in that part of the country. What's it like?
Oh, the greenway in Westport. We have done it now a few times, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
But first class. Back there last month, we actually left from Achill Island, so we would have the Wanderer back and set off and headed towards Newport. But most of it's the old original railway line, Greg. Mm. Parts of it does veer off because through the years people have reclaimed land in that. But the section from Achill into Mulroney and then from Mulroney towards Newport, some breathtaking scenery. I think Barnsmore would be similar if it at all could be possible to be turned into a greenway.
And just in relation to your trip down in Westport, how long was the route from Achill Island?
Well, from Achill Island to Westport, it's approximately about 26 kilometres.
Oh, wow. Okay, so it's significant.
It's kind of one way, so it's a fair jaunt, you know. But the good thing about greenways, I mean, back in the day, railway lines weren't built in any hills, so it's really mostly flat.
Mm-hmm.
So for anyone that's not really into cycling, I mean, it would be easy enough, you know, to do it at your cush, really, you know.
That might very well be why the Barnesmore Gap Rail route was elevated to try and mitigate ups and downs as much as possible. It's frustrating, isn't it? Because, as I say, I'd love to see a train on it. But the infrastructure is there. The hard work has been done, it would seem. And it's you think it would be, as someone who's travelled on greenways elsewhere, you think it would be amazing, do you?
Oh, what we, as your previous caller was saying there, it'd be a no-brainer, Greg, because we would travel to Strand Hill, you know, back and forward, and when you go through the Barnsmore there, when you glance to the left, you can kind of still see where the railway track ran.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
And I mean, if that was a greenway and you're elevated and cycling along that, I mean, the view and the scenery in that area, And then, of course, I think what would be a nice addition, if it ever did happen, would be like a wee slipway, a pathway down towards Biddy's of Arns, where people can stop and have a break.
I love the way you've extended the plans to include the refreshment stop, Gary. you're thinking well ahead here.
Exactly. Well, you know what my refreshment would be? It would be the black stuff. But, of course, others could have some soft drinks and that, and well, then continue on.
If we're ever going cycling together, Gary, with that in mind, I'll be cycling in front of you anyway. I think lots and lots of people would love to see. It would be great if it came to fruition. We're chasing up to see where the status of that public consultation is, Gary, because maybe plans are afoot. We'll see. But thanks very much. Happy cycling. Stay safe.
Okay, Greg.
Right,
cheers.
Bye, Gary. God bless
all
you.
All the best.
All right,
bye.
Take care of yourself, Gary, there. Right, here's one. It's a person's experience in a town in Donegal. And we're not going to name the town because we don't want to sort of cast any negativity across a whole group of hairdressers. It's about someone going into a hairdressing salon. Reads as follows. My 19-year-old student daughter had a hair appointment yesterday in a salon. I suppose they would like to think of themselves as high-end. We booked online on Monday, having to pay 50% up front, with pricing at €149 for her desired hairdo. Small print on the booking did say they may be extras applied on the day. However, not at the extent of, wait for it, €136. It's at this point the presenter was delighted he was bald. The listener goes on to say, I was appalled at the price and feel my daughter was taken advantage of. I've emailed the said salon, no response. Her weekly wages from her part-time job gone in one sitting. Not a great experience for a young student. Hidden extras, which were not necessary. I've attached the receipt. I thought you could highlight it for others. So the total was €285. The large proportion of it is head hair long, T-bars, a cut, extra long, curly texture, restyle, extra long supplement, and it brought it to a total of €285. That's tasty, isn't it? That's a lot. I think actually, 149 and 136, it says, anyway, be that as may, well over €200. But is that the cost of it? You know, there's a lot of overheads, no pun intended. Maybe that's how much it costs, I don't know. There is a sign to say fun, and I think really what Catherine was saying is that, you know, it's not just a sign to say fun is here. It's to sort of, you know, build up the exterior of the town to a point where people know that it's a living, breathing village and that people should drive more slowly going through it, not necessarily simply to identify it as fun. A caller on the back of that says it'll soon take us 2 days to get to Derry. Yeah, but you have to understand that these main roads, you know, these houses weren't built around these main roads. Someone decided that the main road to Derry would go through Fawn. So you have to think on the residents as well. A caller says, I work on the roads and last week we were carrying out work with signs up saying drive slow works ahead and most traffic signs, most traffic ignored them. Many were speeding past us. Many ignored the red lights and did everything in their power to jump them. Lorry drivers, says this road worker controversially, lorry drivers were the worst offenders. Another caller says an 18-year-old boy can be prosecuted for statutory rape for having sex with a 15-year-old that has been to that woman for contraception. Sorry, but the law says 17. It's either is the law or it's not. Yeah, indeed. And that was my suspicion. But in that case, if it is a case of statutory rape, and that is if the girl discloses it, and perhaps they've learned that they shouldn't disclose it, but if they do, then they have to report. There's a mechanism where there is an obligation, I believe, to report there. Right, let us take a quick break. We'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show in a couple of minutes. And an important time for your diary is 11 a.m. on this coming Saturday because a walk in the park for Parkinson takes place in Bernard McGlinchey Town Park in Letterkenny, and the weather's going to be good for it too, which is always pleasant. That's what the forecast is currently saying. On today's Wellness Wednesday, we're joined by Shane O'Brien, who's CEO of Parkinson's Ireland. Hi, Shane. Good morning to you.
Hi, Greg. Good morning.
Like all of these events, I suppose there's a couple of reasons for them. There's threads to it, isn't it? Obviously, you know, funds have to be raised, but also, you know, there's an opportunity for the Parkinson's community to grow, to get together, or for people, you know, just to go along and meet others.
Exactly, Greg. As you say, there's three reasons, I suppose, for holding this walk. Firstly, to fundraise for the services that Parkinson's Ireland provides, both locally in the Donegal area and its national services as well. Secondly, to raise awareness of Parkinson's disease, which is actually the fastest growing neurological condition. And then thirdly, as you rightly mentioned, to bring the whole Parkinson's community and the wider community together in a show of unity and support for the people who have the condition and their families.
18,000 people are currently living in Ireland with Parkinson's, but there's still going to be people out there that don't necessarily understand what it is or how it might affect someone. Can you generalise that, Shane?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, Parkinson's is the fastest growing neurological condition in the world at the moment. There are 18,000 people with Parkinson's in Ireland, and that's expected to double by 2040. Parkinson's disease, it does mainly affect people over the age of 60. So as life expectancy increases, the rates of Parkinson's disease is increasing as well. Parkinson's has a range of different symptoms. We had a recent awareness campaign back in April, and it was called Different for Everyone, and it was all about the 40 different symptoms in Parkinson's. So the stereotype with Parkinson's is that everybody has a tremor and that it's, you know, mainly a disease of the elderly. But I mentioned that there are over 40 different symptoms, and there are both motor symptoms and non-motor symptoms. So I suppose the better known symptoms would be tremor, slowness, issues with balance and gait, but the non-motor symptoms includes anxiety, masked face, pain, and sometimes hallucinations as well. So it is important that we raise awareness of the way that Parkinson's does affect everybody. And I suppose one of the important bits to highlight as well is the positive role that exercise has, and that it can actually slow progression of the disease. And we have a very active branch in the Donegal area that provides local services such as exercise classes and yoga, which is very beneficial, as I mentioned, to prevent the deterioration with Parkinson's.
Yeah, and to improve balance and everything as well too, I'd imagine. Parkinson's is one of those conditions that features quite regularly in terms of potential advancements in treatments and what have you. You know, those articles that are often on page 8 down the side of a newspaper, that type of stuff. Do any of them come to market? Like, is there any progress being made in terms of, I suppose, early detection, detecting someone who most likely to get Parkinson, and I suppose treatment options?
Yeah, I suppose there's advances all the time, and I think really over the next 10 to 15 years, we are going to see better treatments. I think that's where it will start. I think the advent of artificial intelligence, not just for Parkinson's, but for a range of conditions, is going to increase the likelihood of finding better treatments, and hopefully eventually a cure. You know, they say that the brain is the last great frontier in modern medicine. So Parkinson's is a complex condition, like other neurological conditions, but there are advances all the time, particularly in neuroimaging, you know, identifying biomarkers. So I think the first thing will be better treatments, better drugs with less side effects. So we are very hopeful.
And we're going to, of course, give the day itself another good plug. But I'm just curious, in terms of someone, you know, diagnosed with Parkinson's recently or living with it, what is the advantage of engaging with Parkinson's Ireland? Because some people might say, no, this is, I can do this on my own. And many possibly can, don't get me wrong. But maybe they eventually start engaging with Parkinson's Ireland. So what can the organisation do, and what does it do to help people, I suppose, with a recent diagnosis or living with the condition?
Yeah, so unfortunately, Parkinson's, as is the case with many other neurological conditions, there still is some stigma associated with the condition, and many people are reluctant to share their diagnosis. But we would always encourage people to engage with our services at an early stage, and to be aware that there are lots of other people with Parkinson's. So I mentioned our local services, and they include exercise and yoga classes in Buncrana, Letter Kilkenny, Donegal Town and Sligo. And our Northwest branch also run information days, social meetups and various outings. And I just want to mention our volunteer committee in Donegal and Sligo, Anne Fox, Kathleen Kennedy and Jimmy Haughey. And they do fantastic work. So we just want to thank them while we have this chance locally. Our national services include Parkinson's nurse specialist, dietitian, helpline. They also run newly diagnosed workshops and give talks around the country. And then we have a weekly Zoom clinic for the range of symptoms with Parkinson's. And that nurse helpline is 1-800-359-359. And it provides self-management advice, advice to newly diagnosed people, advice on change of symptoms and taking medications, etc. So there are a range of services for people with Parkinson's.
You know, and obviously too, it's not just an individual that gets the Parkinson's diagnosis. It could be their partner or their children or those around them. What supports are in place to, I suppose, help and help people do the best for the person they're living with, or even maybe sort of to support them in dealing with what could be for them a life-changing diagnosis as well?
Yeah, so I suppose our helpline is open to both people with Parkinson's, but also their care partners and their families as well. So we do say that Parkinson's, it is a condition that affects the whole family, and the whole family does have to cope with that diagnosis. So the helpline is a very important service, but also care partners and their families actually participate in our social groups and are very welcome to join Parkinson's Ireland and our branches as well. And I'm sure that we'll see them in great numbers at our walk on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. And the focus on Saturday, it's a positive day. It's about awareness. It's about fundraising. And hopefully it's going to be in glorious sunshine at Bernard McGlinchey's Town Park in Letterkenny. So how do people get involved in a walk in the park for Parkinson's this Saturday? It starts at 11 a.m. Is there a pre-registration or how's all that working?
Yeah, so people can register online on parkinsons.ie in advance if they wish, but they can also register on the day. As you mentioned, it's in Bernard McGlinchey Park starting around 11 a.m. and there will be refreshments afterwards in the Station House Hotel. And at the minute, the forecast is good, so hopefully it stays that way.
Fingers crossed. OK, listen, thanks very much for your time. We do appreciate it. And hopefully it's a wonderful day, as I say. Shane, thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Greg.
Shane O'Brien, CEO of Parkinson's Ireland. A caller asks, why do Ukrainians not have to pay tax or insurance in Ireland when Irish people do? And why do they not have to display discs in the window? They're governed, and it depends on how long they're here and their status here. They're governed, like, say, for instance, if I drove to Portugal and I lived there for a month or so, I think I'm just giving it as an example, because we're in the EU. And I know Ukraine isn't in the EU, but it's treated as such in certain ways. My car would conform to sort of Irish rules of the road in Portugal. So if you were not obliged to display tax there, I'd have my tax shown anyway. And it's the same in reverse, that dispensation was made for Ukrainians to drive here under their insurance in Ukraine and to pay their tax and liabilities in Ukraine and continue to use their cars here. Now, at what point that changes, I don't know. At what point someone's status changes, I don't have that to hand. There are rules and regs there. But the only reason I can answer that with any certainty is because it's a situation, a conversation that came up many times over the last couple of years. A caller says, I've got serious reservations about encouraging and providing contraception to girls so young. What about maturity physically and mentally? Well, you see, they have this metric to determine that, it seems. What about maturity physically and mentally? Sexually transmitted diseases causing artificial changes to bodies still growing, future fertility issues, the assumption that sexual relations are automatically expected contributes to a lack of respect, the idea that girlfriends are disposable, leading to anxiety, disappointment, low self-esteem, etc. Not a good idea, too young at 16. Well, it's under 16 too, as we heard from the doctor. The bottom line is it seems that people are engaging in these activities. But, my mind goes to, and I'm not sure if this is a typical example or not, and you would hope it's not, but if you, theoretically, theoretically, we could have a system whereby, and I'm not sure if the doctors, do you know, Caroline, the doctor's service off the top of your head, what she was referencing? We might get the name of it anyway. That you could theoretically have someone who is 13 or 14, who's the victim of abuse by a family member or whomever it might be, and they could go into one of these facilities and they could say, they could say that I'm currently having sex and I know the consequences of that. Eyelashes, okay, the eyelash clinic, thanks Caroline. They could go into the eyelash clinic theoretically, and if they don't divulge, can you imagine being 13 or 14 in this situation? If they don't divulge that they're victims of abuse, they could get contraception to return to that abusive situation, but have the consciousness to not want to get pregnant from that. I'm not sure how often it happens, but that certainly is a potential. And that to me is, I don't know. As I say, I'll be very focused on child protection. There's something there that needs looking at. Maybe, I don't know. You cannot treat a 15-year-old like an adult for sex and a child for everything else. The world has really gone mad, believes a listener. 16-year-old girls are not adults. They're still children. But as I said, the age can be below 16. God Almighty says another 15 is not an adult. Seems like parents have no say now in their children's decisions. Well, quite literally in this case, they have no say. Because if the child does not want it divulged to their parents, then they are given the contraception without their parents being notified. Now, that's not to say, and it was said in it, that they could be cancelled, say it's important that you possibly should raise this issue with their parents, but they are given the medicine whether or not they do. A caller says, is it any wonder that some younger people are sexually active at ages 14 and 15 when they're watching BS on TV like Love Island and them Kardashians? Just look at the music videos of the women and role models they look up to. The soap operas don't help either, says a listener there. Greg, I'm disgusted listening to this conversation about the contraceptive pill suggesting it to be given to 16-year-olds. Is there no one in this generation to teach children that sex was and still is for married couples for the purpose of recreation? No respect for their bodies anymore. So, so sad. I think the argument about sex being for married couples and only for the purpose of recreation, which would imply that married couples couldn't have sex for fun, which... all of that in this day and age, and I get it, and we spoke about it in the past, I just don't think that's a realistic argument or scenario that's ever going to be pushed again, if you get where I'm coming from. Now, that is in no way disrespecting or dismissing your belief system. I'm saying en masse, I can't imagine society ever simply saying that sex is just for married couples for the purpose of recreation, because that would preclude couples using protection and having activities for fun. A caller says, yeah, read that one. Okay, thanks very much indeed. A lot of reaction to that. I'm not surprised either, because it's one where every day they say is a learning day, and I got to this age and I never realised that that was a possibility, that that was allowed, in terms of there's no lower age potentially to give contraception to a child if they are aware of what they're doing and the consequences of that. So, and there's no obligation to contact Gardaí unless criminality is suspected, or the parents, even though they would be counselled and encouraged to do so. Have we no moral standards or decency by allowing 16-year-olds free contraception? What kind of a moral government do we have? But what do you do? So if 16-year-olds are having sex, if they are, do you say, oh, you shouldn't be doing that even though it's happening, and crack on? Or do you say, right, well, if it's happening and we have to accept it's happening and we're not going to change the morals if you believe it's a moral issue, and then perhaps, you know, are you saying that the consequences of it, that you should carry a pregnancy if you get pregnant? You know, I mean, but a person who might have strong views on contraception might also be anti-abortion, okay? So what is the lesser of the two? That you give 16-year-olds free contraception and then you reduce the amount of abortion? Or do you not give them contraception even though that you're having sex, but also then expect them to carry their child? I don't know. It's a moral dilemma, and it's a big conversation. And feel free to have it. Text in 0866 6025000 or call us on 074 91 25000.
Business Matters on Highland Radio is brought to you by Local Enterprise Office Donegal. Find out more about the Energy Efficiency Grant, aimed at helping businesses to operate in a more sustainable way, by visiting localenterprise.ie/Donegal.
And that jingle means only one of two things. A, I've pressed the wrong button, or B, Chris Ashmore is in studio with me, and I can say with confidence it's the latter. Good morning, Chris. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
All right, Business Matters, the podcast from Highland Radio, is available for you right now on our website. We'll talk about that a little later on, but first let's catch up on a little bit of news. And good news for three Donegal food businesses, Chris.
Yes, indeed. Little Mama's Gelato, Tapas and Treats, and Purple Velvet, three local companies. Now, they've been accepted into the Food Academy program, supported by Super Value. So you're basically getting support and you can end up getting access into the some of their stores. So this can be a big step forward and lead to orders. So, yeah.
Not putting you on the spot. Little Mama's, I think, is Donegal Town, is it? Do you have that info in front of you?
I think it is, yes.
I think it's in Donegal Town. And the tapas one may well be in Remelton, which if it is, it's on my list to go to because I like tapas. So
yes,
I think it is in Remelton.
And there's quite a few sort of tapas places beginning
to
surface.
Is there? Right, yeah, okay. Because I love that nibbly, tasty food. Sometimes you go in and you sit down and it's a big plate of food. And it's lovely, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you can't beat, you know, some spicy meatballs and some this, that and the other. There is one in Remelton anyway. If it's not that one, we'll find out. Yeah, I didn't wish to put you on the spot. So hopefully that is the boost.
Yes.
Positive. Okay. A new bridge?
Yeah, now you may have seen or heard, this is a long-running story, this bridge at Fintra outside Killybegs. The reason I mention it, it's not quite the Bonnegie link, but in South Donegal, this bridge is a real bottleneck.
And it's on the right corner, and then you can look down to your left over and onto the beach and out to sea. Isn't that right?
Yeah, and it's
right bridge?
It's a few miles out from Killybegs, but when you come into it and when there's lorries and stuff, it's a real pinch point. Now, this is an ongoing story, as many of our infrastructural projects are, but just to let people know, I've seen a little bit of coverage of it without any mention of the actual value. It's going out to tender. That's good news. $9.5 million for the bridge and a little bit of realignment, obviously, either side of it. And that will make a huge difference.
When you think of the amount of heavy vehicles since we decided rail was not the future, the amount of heavy vehicles going up and down that road, something else.
Absolutely.
Okay. You like to keep your eyes on the planning as well, Chris. Any news there?
Yeah, well, just something interesting just came across. People may be familiar in Letterkenny of the former telecom premises in Ballyrain, which has been pretty much derelict, must be 2 decades now. Don't know much about it other than the fact that a company, Metal Pipework Fabrication Limited, have applied for planning permission to demolish all the buildings and to put up a perimeter security fence. So it looks as if, you know, things are moving with a view, I take it, to developing what is a pretty big site just near the Church of the Irish Martyrs there. Many people may be aware of it.
Fantastic. Yep. Now, any dates for our diary stuff coming up?
A couple of things coming up. 23rd of September, there's a business planning workshop being hosted by the Local Enterprise Office in Letterkenny. It's a two-hour workshop, and it'll be led by Chartered Accountant Conal Dunn and Business Consultant Stephen Friel. So you can learn about business planning and strategies and the insights to drive your business forward. So contact the Local Enterprise Office for that. And also, just a reminder, we have touched on this before, there's a bit of a push on to let businesses in Donegal know about the Energy Efficiency Grant. You can get up to 75% of your eligible costs, grants ranging from 750 quid to 10,000 euro. More details from the Local Enterprise Office, but a little bit of a win-win situation because you're getting a grant and you're going to save money in the long term and up to 75%. So certainly worth looking at.
Okay. There's a Donegal Women in Business event coming up too, isn't it? Isn't
that
a significant milestone?
Yeah, 25 years. It's on tomorrow, Loch Esk Castle Hotel. So big day there. There's going to be lots of people at that. It's been sold out for several weeks. So 25 years, and it's certainly done a lot of good, a lot of connections made. And no doubt, look at the weather. What a place to be, Loch Esk Castle, on a day like that. So that's
anywhere
be good.
On a day like today would be better than in here, although it's lovely. And it's not the only big anniversary, of course, Chris. Because no. There's a big anniversary contained within the podcast that you've spent all week working on, and I shouldn't have to tell you.
Yes, indeed. No, I was actually just looking at something else. Just before we come to that, just something I want to highlight. There's a thing called the Northwest City Region. People may not be aware of this. It's a European Commission-backed thing. It's the Intelligent Cities Challenge. But anyway, got a long story short, a launch took place of a local Green Deal initiative. It's called Grow, Eat, Compost, Repeat. It took place in Clonmany. And basically what they're doing is it's basically a process now where they're going to be able to collect biodegradable food, garden and park waste, convert it into high-quality compost and send it back out. A local company, KPM Soils, are involved, and the Donegal County Council are involved. It's all about this circular economy and getting lots of people to come together with their waste, and instead of it just maybe ending up in the back of a garden or
it's
going to be used. So you have all sorts of people involved down Clonmany direction, the community garden, community centre, mental health association, cafes, tidy towns, forestry, 15 local companies involved. So good to see it, and no doubt that can be replicated in other places.
Fantastic. Now, there's a handful of quality papers amongst them. I don't want about papers that aren't, you know, and this is no criticism of anyone, but, you know, that deliver news for the local area, that aren't cut-and-paste projects. And amongst them, and well up there, is the Finn Valley Voice newspaper.
Yes, a big month for the Finn Valley Voice newspaper based in Balbuffet. It's actually celebrating its 30th anniversary this month. Started off from very small, humble beginnings. The four directors are all female, which is a first in the country for a newspaper. And they have grown over the years. They've overcome the many challenges and changes that have taken place in the print media. The first issue came out in September 1994. It was just once a month in those days. Then it went bi-fortnightly, then weekly. And the origins date back to the summer of 94, when the then president of the Chamber of Commerce, Susan McGonagall, had basically a simple but powerful idea at the time. She said, well, why can't we have a newspaper in the Twin Towns? And in this clip, Celine McGlynn, the editor of the paper, well, she recalls really just how it all began.
It came about quite by accident. A friend of mine, Angela Houlihan, had said to me in conversation, she said, Celine, I hear there's a newspaper starting in the town. And Angela was telling me how she had been in Sweeney's Bar in Stenorler with Susan McGonagall, who was then president of the Chamber of Commerce. And Susan had passed a remark at some of their meetings. Susan had just said, wouldn't it be great if we had a paper in the Twin Towns? It would be a great addition to the Twin Towns. And that was all she said. And Angela had picked up that, oh, there is a paper starting. So I went then. The FAS office was here with Sean O'Kane and Filipino Peoples. And by nature, I'd be I wouldn't put myself forward. I'd be quite shy, naturally. But I went to the FAS office and I said, I hear there's a paper starting in the town. And if there is, I would like to be part of it.
And that's the very beginning of the story, which Chris will tease out with the editor of the newspaper, Celine McGlynn, over the course of the podcast. And a team of 10 working on the paper as well, Chris. I'm not surprised. It's just I didn't know.
It's a labour-intensive industry.
It's a small but very productive. That's the word. Productive team. All right, okay. I'd say you enjoyed that conversation, Chris.
Yeah, I was there for the open day, and I'll declare I worked a little bit with them many years ago as well.
Though, Chris.
And
I've seen your byline, I think, in every paper in the country at one point or other. In a good way.
They had an open day, and what was great, Greg, was people were coming in and congratulating them. Well, a nice little party atmosphere. So 30 years done.
Congratulations to Celine and all the team at the Finn Valley Voice, and always a pleasure to bump into them and have a chat to them too. They're lovely characters, interesting, complex, multi-layered. I like it. All right, Celine, well done to you and the team. Chris, the podcast is available now in its entirety on our website in the Listen Back section, and previous episodes are there now, and there are hundreds of them. If you have an interest in business or thinking of starting a business, there's such a wealth of information in those podcasts. You wouldn't believe they're entertainment, but I'll tell you, there's a lot of mistakes people have made that they've overcome, and a lot of things they got right, and it's all archived there, which I think is amazing. And it's broadcast on Sunday too, Chris, of course.
That's right. Sunday after the 6 o'clock news, you can hear all about the Finn Valley Voice story.
Fantastic. And if you want to contact Chris, it is businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
That's it.
We've been talking a little bit about plans, or there should be plans for a cycle path using the route of the old railway line through Ballybuffet. As someone who has such an interest in railways, do people of your mind, do they like to see those railway lines being, you know, used or repurposed as such, or do you still hold out hope that no, retain it as is, because you never know?
Yeah, now this interesting point, because this has happened around the country. Former track beds from railways closed many years ago. Many of them have been reopened as greenways, and there are some people from the rail lobby who actually have been opposed to these greenways because they still think it should be preserved for a future train. Mm-hmm. Then in some areas they're saying, well, you know, an example being between Mullingar and Athlone, where they have developed a greenway there, but there's also a feeling that in some places you could even have the two still if there's enough room. Ultimately, I think most people would veer towards the sentiment of feeling, well, you know, rather than having it there as a track bed, absolutely idle, well, a greenway is better than
and
nothing.
I don't know in terms of design or what have you, and I don't know if it was elevated as it was, you know, to try and keep it as flat as possible. I'm not really quite sure. Maybe you have an insight into that. But I think if it was ever green lit to extend the railway from Letterkenny, say, to Donegal Town and beyond, it probably wouldn't follow that. We'd love it to, but it probably wouldn't follow that same route across the mountain there.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of parts of the route has been breached, and you'd have to look at that. I think one of the big keys about greenways, and this is one of the reasons why greenways developed on old railway lines has been so popular, is railways generally don't go up and down hills.
Yeah.
So railways, the gradient is very, very small. For a train to go up more than 7 or 8% would be really rare. So that's why you see in Switzerland places they've got the cogs in the wheels and the different types of traction there.
Why? Because so they are more inclined
because
to have to deal with
a train will slip. If it's going up to, you know, it doesn't have the grip on the wheels. The traction's not there. So greenways that are developed over former railway lines, by and large, are pretty flat. So
Very finally, did you watch the last episode of the Grand Tour on Amazon? No,
not yet.
It's quite interesting. If you have access to Amazon, because I don't know the actual name of the line. I possibly should, but it's in Africa. It was built by the British at the time, but they obviously again change their cars so they can run on tracks. But they go across this amazing bridge, which they're saying it was built in Doncaster, and then transported and put together in this country, which escapes me at the moment. All right, Chris, listen, sorry to take you down the rail rabbit hole. I appreciate your input, though, nonetheless. That's Chris Ashmore, and he actually came into studio, believe it or not, to talk about the podcast, Business Matters. It's live for you right now on our website, broadcast after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday, and Chris can be contacted, businessmatters@highlandradio.com. We have the competition running today, of course. Thanks to our show sponsors. And the winner today is Bernie Shields in Milford. Bernie, you have won a €200 voucher. You correctly answered the question, and the answer was chair. Okay, so it's not tough, but it is still nice to have to be forced to think a little bit. And you did, and you won that prize today. Another €200 voucher up for grabs tomorrow, which is a phrase I always promised I'd avoid, but there you go. In relation to greenways, a caller says, what about all the private land owners? I own a couple of fields and the proposal for these greenways will break up six of my fields. What about my animal stock? It's all very well for these outdoor people to want these things, but no consideration is given to the likes of me. How would they like it if I decided I wanted a pathway through their front or back garden? I own six in my area, but I've spoken to a number of landowners around me who feel the same. And that is an important point, you know, and something that be considered. And I think anyone, rather than sort of being pitched against you as a landowner, would hope that whatever's put in place is done so with your agreement and with the least, if not no, disruption at all. Greg, the road was there long before many of the buildings in Farn. Okay, I take that back. I often use that line as it relates to school, but if it's the case that Farn's developed along that road as it is now, well, then I accept that I might be wrong in that regard. Hi, Greg. Sure, it's great to see all these greenways, and on the other hand, the council can't grit the Galdonna Road when it's needed. Yes, of course, there is that too. I can imagine. Barnesmore railway line was subject to rockfalls when in service, which doesn't surprise me, actually. A walkway would be safer if constructed down at the road and river level. It would be easier and safer to access for machinery at the lower level as well, which offers a better view of both sides of the gap. Strong argument there. We have seen in the past netting being put in place to avoid falling rocks, but I mean, when you start talking about the cost and all that, it's probably not going to happen. Didn't really consider that, so thanks for your input there. On to some other topics discussed today, and it has been a variation of them. A 15-year-old is a child and is under the guidance and supervision of their parents, says this listener here. They do not have the knowledge or ability to make truly informed decisions regarding birth control, medication or otherwise. No doctor has the right to undermine the parent, and should a doctor undermine my parenting, then they would pay a heavy price. The simple solution to this debate is to offer free condoms to all people, regardless of age, available at the counter of every pharmacy and GP surgery. Whilst I take on board exactly what you're saying, and if I were to put myself in the same situation, I'm not saying I would disagree. The doctors actually have the right, whether you think they should have the right or not, they do have the right. They have the right for your 15-year-old to go into them, into this clinic we talked of, to say, this is what, I'm not saying your child is, by the way, but for another example, say, this is what I'm doing and I know the consequences and I don't want to tell my parents and I want this medication, and they'll be given it. So whether you believe the doctor has the right or not, that right is being exercised around the country. But I understand exactly where you're coming from, by the way. Caller says she has land in her family for years in the countryside and has been denied planning permission to build a house, yet there are eyesores going up all over the place. The decision making does not make sense and not fit for purpose. And this is quite interesting, because I was speaking to someone yesterday who struggled to get planning permission in their own area, and it's been a couple of years struggling. At the same time, they've seen houses pop up around the place. So there you go. Rehanding out condoms to 16-year-olds. This is illegal. There are no two ways about it. It's like having a drink aged of 18 and handing a 16-year-old a bottle of wine and saying, don't drink it. No wonder people do not have any faith in our government, says a listener. And also, too, whatever about the government, a lot of this can be driven to by those in the medical profession who balance up things. Now, I'm not saying you agree or disagree with them, but I think that, you know, the medical profession has a role in this as well. Now, there is a show coming up tonight, starts at 8 p.m. It's a new series on Highland Radio, which is always a treat to be able to announce. In Nature Farmers, it's a new series for Highland Radio. Mary Brophy meets a number of farmers across Donegal who are farming with nature as the country experiences terrible declines of our wildlife, from birds to insects to wildflowers. We'll hear on the show how these farmers are creating or restoring habitats on their land in some of Donegal's most beautiful landscapes, discover how the county is an important refuge for precious species. Tonight's programme features farmer Boyd Bryce on his Inch Island farm, standing in a flowery Crover crop, sown for bees, butterflies and birds such as finches and linnets. If that's your thing, then tune in to Nature Farmers tonight at 8 p.m, just after the news, in fact. And this is an IWR media production for Highland Radio, funded by the Commissioner Man with the television license fee. And I presume it'll be podcast afterwards. I presume I'll let you know if that's not the case. Hi, you can educate people till you're blue in the face. Unfortunately, some people just don't care about their actions on the road. We need more Gardaí on the road 24/7 and hit people where it hurts. presume that's in the pocket. You drive a lot in Inishowen. I couldn't tell you the last time I was stopped by the guards. Cheers. Indeed. Okay. Listen, thank you. Really busy on the phone lines, the text machine and so on and so forth. Do appreciate it. Any we didn't get to, we will catch up on. But that's where we have to leave it today. We'll be back with Thursday's 9 till noon show tomorrow morning at 9.